Amen. So we turn tonight to the book of Luke. The good doctor, Dr. Luke. Chapter 12, verse number 32. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. One beautiful verse. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful tonight? What a gem. What a beautiful, beautiful gem. What a promise. Amen. What a stunning revelation. Amen. Fear not, little flock. And that's our subject tonight. Fear not, little flock. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Brother Hart told us this morning that we hear the approaching of hoofbeats. Amen. And things are going to get better or get worse before they get better. Amen. Tough times are coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. There was some couple old hobos one time, and the times were getting tough. And they're getting real tough. And so finally, one turned to the other and he said, worse comes to worse. He said, I have preached a little bit. So if times got really bad, he thought he might have to go to preaching. Amen. But we know that we are living in a perilous time. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times would come. And we got here by our own prodigal spending, at least on our government's part, and a lot of foolishness that our leadership allowed. And so now it is just an absolute fact that the great economy of the United States of America is on the brink of failure. Now, I don't want to just say that tonight. That's not a political statement. That's not a political statement. It's been a long time coming. And whichever persuasion you are, whether you're a Republican or a sinner, I mean a Republican or a Democrat, whichever one it is. Bible call them Republicans and sinners. We call them Republicans and Democrats, whichever. Amen. But both have contributed to where we are now at this precipice. So I just want you to know that we are in a perilous time. And I don't know what tomorrow holds. Amen. But I know this much. The word of the Lord said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a promise, folks. I don't know if the government's going to fail. I don't know. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few years. But I tell you what, my eggs are not in that basket. Amen. My confidence is in the Lord. Praise God. Somebody said, well, Brother Grissom, you know, I've worked all my life to get this retirement. Well, don't put your confidence in your retirement. Amen. Praise God. Now, the Lord didn't say you're going to live on Easy Street. But he did say he'd supply all your needs. Some things we think are needs, he may disagree with. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I tell you what, it's going to be okay. Sister Guidry used to live with us in South Texas and when she was in Bible college, and then after she got out of Bible college, she lived with us a couple of years. And sometimes, you know, it would get a little tight, you know. And we'd look at offering on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We'd say, Navanda, we'd say, we've got to tighten our belt a little bit this week. And she'd say, oh, goody, goody, goody. Praise the Lord. Because every time that happened, without exception, people would bring, good food to the house. And we didn't ever say, I never mentioned to anybody. I never told anybody. Amen. Whether times were good, whether times were lean. I never said either way. I just knew that God's going to take care of it. Every time somebody, they'd drop stuff off. They'd drop steaks at the house. And Neil Guy, you hadn't lived till you ate Neil Guy. You know what Neil Guy is? It's an antelope, big old antelope. And man, it's good stuff. It's a big, you know, kind of tall animal, and he's got a little goatee and hops around it. Beautiful, beautiful animals. A lot of meat. I was dressing one time. I was cutting, and I cut myself and got a little Neil Guy in my blood. Had a craving to grow a little goatee and hop around eating grass. But it passed. Amen. But God blessed. God blessed. And I'm telling you what, if times get tough, you don't have, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. God's going to take care of you. He's going to supply your needs. He has not failed, and He will not fail. Amen. But you know what we really got to guard against is getting a stinking attitude. I know people, whenever things are not going as well as they think it ought to, and they don't have everything they think they ought to have, they start complaining. They start murmuring. Amen. We've got to guard against that. Guard our attitude and say, Lord, it may not be what used to be. It may not be what I thought was going to be. But thank God, I've got what I need. The Lord is taking care of me and supplying everything that I have need of. Amen. So you see, the first thing he said is, fear not. January the 6th, 1941, the world was facing a war. Matter of fact, some were already in it. Across the seas, war was raging, and they were trying to draw the United States into the conflict that we later called World War II. Our president at the time, Mr. Roosevelt, made an address to the State of the Union, a State of the Union address to the Congress, and in that he expressed four freedoms. The first was the freedom of speech and expression. It's a good thing to be able to express yourself freely without fear that you're going to be put in prison are killed because of the stand that you take. Amen. It's very interesting that in the United States that has prided itself on freedom of speech is now censoring Christians and pulpits. Amen. And there's things that they say you can't say from the pulpit anymore. Amen. And there's things you can't say in the classroom anymore. You can speak profanity, but you can't read the scripture. Amen. You can quote Muhammad, but you can't quote Jesus. Amen. You can talk about other gods, but you can't talk about the God. Amen. And so they're censoring speech, although that is one of the foundations that our nation was founded upon by our Christian leadership that founded the United States of America. Amen. And then he talked about the freedom of worship. Not freedom from worship, but freedom to worship. Amen. You know what? We don't have anything to fear, folks. Praise God. Jesus doesn't have any competition. You don't have to guard God. You don't have to be afraid some other religion is going to take over. Do you know how many Christians there were in the world when Jesus came? None. Amen. Do you know how many Christians there were in the world according to theologians after the first generation? 250 million, or I'm sorry, 25 million Christians in the world. At least. In one generation. You don't have to be afraid of this. It's okay for people to believe what they want to believe. Amen. Praise God. I'm not afraid of other religions. Amen. Praise God. Because you know something? We don't have a religion. We have an experience with God. This is not a religion. This is a life changing experience. Amen. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to make laws that say that, you know, certain religions can't come in. And that's okay. Let them come in. Amen. But they better watch out, because we're going to do everything we can to convert them. Amen. And if they can convert you, shame on you. Amen. Praise God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is the only God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so it's freedom to worship. And then he talked about freedom from want. David knew a little bit about that. You remember what he wrote, 23rd Psalm? He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." You want freedom from want tonight? You want freedom from the gimmies? You ever had a case of the gimmies? Amen. I know folks that get the gimmies real often. Give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. They got a bad case of the gimmies. God will deliver you from the gimmies. He'll give you an attitude of gratitude. He'll give you a spirit of thanksgiving. And when you get a spirit of thanksgiving, and you get the wisdom of the Lord, and you get your priorities straight in your life, you don't have to have a bunch of things. Amen. And so you get an understanding of that freedom from want. Amen. Some songwriter years ago wrote a song, said, "I want more of Jesus. I want more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before." That's what he wanted. Just more of Jesus. Just more of Jesus. Just more of Jesus. And when you get your priorities right, that's what you want. An elder pastor took a young evangelist out into his garage, and it was full of stuff. I mean, there were tennis rackets and footballs and bowling balls and golf bags and just all kinds of things. And he said, "You see all this?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You know what I wanted when I was doing all this?" He said, "I just wanted more of Jesus." Just trying to fill it with a bunch of other stuff. He said, "But what I really wanted was just more of Him." Hallelujah. You see, when you get an appetite for God, it'll take care of the wants in your life. And you're not going to want a whole lot of other things. Just more of Him. Just more of Him. Amen. That's what you really want in your life. Amen. So you have freedom from one. And then the last was freedom from fear. Amen. Praise. And when you have confidence in God, the Bible said, perfect love casteth out fear. When you are fully in love with Jesus and persuaded that Jesus loves you, it'll take care of your fears. Amen. So the psalmist would say, "I'll not fear what man can do unto me." Amen. It'll take the fear of human beings away from you. It'll take the fear of peer pressure away from you. You can just relax and be yourself. I went shopping one time with a young boy a few years ago, and man, he was showing me all the cool stuff. He'll say, "That's cool and that's not cool. That's cool and that's not cool." And everything was just dividing. Show me what's cool and what's not cool. I said, "You know what's cool when you get old?" He said, "What's that?" I said, "I wear anything I want to and it's cool. And if you don't like it, that's cool too. But I like it." Amen. I don't have to worry about what somebody else thinks is cool. Amen. I just go ahead and do what I want to do. Wear what I want to wear. Amen. You know what I learned a long time ago? Comfort outdoes cool every time. Amen. And you get a little older, you're worried more about comfort than you are being cool. Amen. Amen. I don't know why we got freedom of fear of that, but we did, didn't we? Amen. Perfect love cast out fear. You know Jesus loves you. He's going to take care of you. Amen. So the Apostle Paul could be in a prison cell and not be afraid. He could face the sword. They're going to drag him out and cut his head off, but he wasn't afraid. Peter was in prison. He was so scared he went to sleep. Daniel was in a den of lions. He was so sleepy he used Leo for a pillow. I'm telling you, folks, there is a peace that passes understanding, and you can have freedom from fear. Amen. God had to wake Peter up before he could deliver him. Amen. God can give you freedom from fear. If you're afraid tonight, let me read this for you again. Fear not, little flock. God does not want you to live in fear. The scripture said fear hath torment. And we're living a day of phobias. Amen. I know people, this just shocked me and saddened me. I was in somewhere, I don't remember now, and a little boy, he couldn't have been 5, 6 years old probably. And I was getting ready to drink a Coke or Dr. Pepper or something. He said, does that have caffeine in it? But what in the world does a 5-year-old need to know about caffeine for? He's already in fear and he's 5 years old. Amen. Global warming. Woo-hoo. We're all going to die real soon. It's all just going to burn up. We live in a culture of fear. Amen. You know, you don't eat chickens because they got some kind of injections in them that'll... Don't eat beef. Amen. Don't eat vegetables. Just starve, I guess. Amen. But we live in a culture of fear. And people feed on it. Amen. One of the first things people do in the mornings, turn on the news so they get their daily fear. Learn what to be afraid of. See who got killed last night. How many accidents there were. Amen. Read your newspaper. Get your daily load of fear. Amen. And then people all day long, they're fearful. Everywhere you go, fearful. Amen. Praise God. And just we just live in a culture of fear. But in the backdrop of all that, Jesus said, fear not, little flock. Amen. Hey, it's all right to have a song. It's all right to go ahead and eat chicken even if it's got injections in it. It's okay to drink milk that's got, I don't know what else in it. Amen. Your water, yeah, it's living water. If you put it under a microscope, it's got all kinds of things living in it. Don't worry about it. Amen. Praise God. Everybody's going to die of something if you don't go in the rapture. So just go ahead and be happy. Don't be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, people used to die of old age. People don't die of old age anymore. Now it's always got some big long name. You know what? That's probably what they died of back then. It just didn't have the name. It was just old age. We had the diseases, we just didn't have the names for it. Amen. Kids were hyperactive back then, and we just didn't use that term. Amen. ADD, ADHD, PhD, whatever. Amen. We got titles for everything now, don't we? Everything's a sickness. Everything's a psychosis. Amen. Praise God. Some of it's just not being disciplined. Amen. Praise God. There are certain things we can do to help ourselves. But we live in a culture of fear. Fear not, little flock. Amen. The Lord doesn't want you living in fear. Amen. Praise God. And then, don't you love that phrase, little flock? In the Greek, that's actually a double diminutive. Little can not only mean in stature or in size, but it's a term of endearment. Little ones. Amen. Sometimes we use that as a diminutive. It doesn't just mean somebody can be real big and still be little to you. because it's just a term of endearment for you. And so this is a double meaning. Relatively, the flock is small. If you read the context of these verses, go back to chapter 12, verse 1, the scripture said, it said, in the meantime, when there was gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, and then he starts talking. You see, he was addressing a great old big crowd that day. Innumerable multitude, it said. People were stepping on one another. So when he was speaking to the little flock, he was speaking into the multitude. But not everybody was hearing him. Not everybody was understanding him. Amen. Jesus taught in these huge crowds, but not everybody got it. And, you know, it's interesting. Preaching's an interesting business. And I've preached a long time now, and I've always found it interesting that we'll preach and we'll preach and we'll preach and we'll preach and we'll preach. And then an evangelist comes in and preaches, and he preaches the same thing Brother Hart and I've been preaching. And people say, wow, I never heard that before. Where you been? Where you been? Amen. Praise God. But it doesn't matter as long as you get it. I don't care who you get it from. Just get it. Amen. So Jesus would speak into the multitude, but he was addressing the little flock. Over in the book of John, chapter 10, Jesus spoke another thing, and he said, my sheep, hear my voice. My sheep, hear my voice. Now, you know, in the Holy Land, when it was springtime, they would take the flocks to the mountainside, and they'd all be mixed up together. Everybody's sheep were grazing together. And then when it come time in the evening to take the sheep to the sheepcote for a night of rest and to gather them together so that they wouldn't be prey to predators, all of the shepherds would just begin to call their sheep. And interestingly, the sheep would separate. And the sheep would go to the voice of their shepherd. And then they would follow that shepherd to the sheepcote where they would be put up for the night. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. And so not everybody gets it. Isn't it interesting that, you know, service is going on and some people are clipping fingernails and sending text messages and we've already addressed that. Amen. Doing all kinds of things, but there's some that are hearing. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. So not everybody is going to hear in the service. But he said, my sheep, hear my voice. Sometimes they're just a part of the multitude. But he said, my sheep, hear my voice. Amen. He identifies them as being his own. Amen. He said, and I know them and they follow me. One shepherd observed this going on, or a foreigner observed all this going on. He thought it was interesting when these sheep just began to separate and they started following the shepherd. But one of them got confused. It was like he didn't know where to go. And they said, what's wrong with that one? He said, he's sick. And he said, a sick lamb will follow anybody. You got to watch it, folks. Watch who you follow. Be careful that you hear his voice. Be careful that you know him and that he knows you. Amen. He said, I know them. And he said, they follow me. Amen. He said, and I give to them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Everybody say, my hand. Then the next verse he says, My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So Jesus said, no, don't be afraid. Don't fear not, little flock. You don't have to fear, because he said, nobody can take you out of my hand. Amen. You don't have to fear. Now, we don't preach or believe once saved, always saved, because God's hand doesn't have any fences around it. You're free to leave anytime you want to. If you want to step out, that's your prerogative. You can step out. But why would you want to? Why would you want to leave a place of peace and dwell in a world of phobias and fears? It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. Amen. Praise God. By the way, you know, if you're not watching television, you're not missing anything. You know where most people get their fears? From their television. It's the biggest fear monger there is. Amen. Somebody said, well, I just watch the news. Well, that's one of the worst things you can watch. Now, I'm not talking about hiding our head in the sand. We need to know what's going on. I try to stay informed. I read a lot and try to read discriminately. But we do need to be informed about what's going on in the world. Amen. But let's just not get caught up in the fear of it all. Amen. Praise God. And so he said, my sheep, they hear my voice and they follow. Praise God. And the security, he said, nobody's going to take you out of my hand. You're safe there. You're secure. Amen. It's a sad thing when people are always worried about losing out with God. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, make up your mind that you're going to make it. Amen. Relax. Amen. Chill. Amen. It's going to be all right. The Lord put you in His hand. He's going to keep you in His hand. Amen. People sometimes, you know, they don't live up to their expectations. Maybe not God's expectations. You think, oh, the Lord's going to do away with me. He's going to cast me aside. No, He didn't say that, did He? He knows you're human. Now, I'm not talking about excusing yourself here. Amen. I'm not talking about deliberately living in sin just because you think that grace is going to cover it. And I'm talking about when you sincerely make a mistake, God's not going to forsake you. God's not going to cast you aside. God's not going to give up on you. Amen. It's not God that makes you fear. I said it's not God that's making you fear. Amen. Not that has torment. When the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it's talking about respect for the Lord. You know, respect's a very interesting thing. In my opinion, respect is the highest form of love. Amen. You know, there's goo goo eye love. Goo goo eyes, you know. You remember goo goo eyes? Amen. And puppy love. Amen. And pitter patter love. And you know, you go to a tree and it's got MJ loves LC forever. And then that's scratched out, and beneath that it's another one. Norman Rockwell, my favorite painter illustrator, I don't know if you remember this picture, if you ever saw it, but he had this sailor boy. Big old sailor boy sitting there, big old strong arm, and he's getting a tattoo. And he said, whatever his name is, I don't remember his name, it said so-and-so loves. And then it's got about four names scratched out, and he's getting a new name put under all those. Amen. That's not the kind of love I'm talking about. The highest form of love is respect. And young people, listen closely, and old folks, you can eavesdrop to. Amen. But you need to, don't date anybody that you don't respect. I don't care how handsome they are or how beautiful they are. If you don't respect them, don't date them. If they can't earn your respect, then you don't need to be connected with them. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's good preaching, Brother Grissom. My, I'm glad you said that tonight. Amen. Praise God. People that you respect. Amen. Now, if you're married tonight, then you need to strive to be respectable. Be careful how you talk to your mate. Amen. Praise God. Woo! How in the world do we get here from Fear Not, Little Flock? Amen. But you be careful how you speak to your mate. Amen. Some people would speak to their husband or their wife like they wouldn't speak to anybody else. Amen. And if that's the love of your life, you need to be very careful how you speak to them, and especially in the presence of your children. Because if you can belittle your mate in the presence of your children, you know what? It won't be long before your kids are. Amen. So respect is important. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Respect God. Amen. Now, sometimes it's a process. I think before I respected my parents, I feared them. Now, they earned that. Amen. I learned that there were things I couldn't get away with that maybe somebody else could. I was coming home one time. I'd been spending some time with my cousin, and he could do things at his house and talk to his parents in a way I couldn't talk to mine. But it kind of rubbed off on me. And we were riding along. I was driving. I was a teenager by then, and I was driving along, and I hit a bump in the road or a hole in the road. And my dad said, "You got a little close to that, didn't you?" And I said, "You want to drive?" Whoa! I wish I hadn't said that. That wasn't the best thing to say. Not to my dad, it was. He interpreted that as disrespect. And he had a cure for it. Even for a teenager. Amen. And I'm glad he did. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad he did. Amen. And children and young people, respect your parents. Amen. Be careful. It doesn't matter how somebody else talks to their mom or dad. You respect yours. You honor your mother and father. Amen. The Bible said that's a commandment with promise. And the promise is if you respect your mom and dad, you're going to have a good and a long life. Amen. And so it's I know in our culture it's not popular. Amen. And your parents are human beings and they will make mistakes. They're not perfect. They don't claim to be. Or at least they shouldn't. Amen. And so we honor the Lord and we respect the Lord, and the Lord respects us. I said, and the Lord respects us. God is such a gentleman. He'll never force you to do anything. He'll never make you do anything. If you don't want to praise God, you don't have to. If you don't want to serve God, you don't have to. If you don't want to be saved, you don't have to be. God's not going to force you to do anything. He'll woo you, and He'll love you, and He'll pursue you. But He'll not make you do anything. Amen. Fear not, little flock. Amen. And then he said, your father... I like that. That's a possessive pronoun. Amen. It's not just anybody's father. It's my father. That's when, remember that verse I just quoted a little while ago, the Apostle Paul in Philippians, when he said, but my God shall see. You see, it's a possessive pronoun. If he's not your God and he's not your father, then these promises don't apply to you. If you got another daddy, that's okay. Then this doesn't apply to you. But if God is your father, if He's your father, then this applies to you. You don't have to be afraid. Amen. Because He is your father. Amen. And a good father, first of all, is a wise counselor and a good example. He's somebody you can respect and somebody you can look up to. Amen. And as a man, as a father, it's our responsibility to strive to be that kind of a person. Amen. Praise God. It's a big order, folks, but we gotta work at it every day. Amen. I don't want to make excuses, Brother Hart. I want to make changes. Amen. I don't want to just say, well, that's the way I am. I want to change so I can be better. I want to be more like Jesus every day. Amen. I've heard people say, well, that's the way my mom and dad did it. Well, let me ask you, did you like it? Was it right when they did it to you? If it wasn't right when they did it to you, then it's not right when you do it to your children. Amen. Praise, that's just the truth, folks. Amen. There are some things that, and nobody had a better mom and dad than I did. But there are some things I do differently because there are some things I didn't think were the best way to do it. Amen. And certainly I haven't been perfect. Now, close your ears, Cherie. I don't want to disappoint her tonight. She thought I was. Don't get her started. Amen. Keep your mouth shut, young lady. No, we're not perfect. Amen. But you know, we're trying to be. But our Father is perfect. I said our Father is perfect. Amen. Praise God. I know that not everybody had a good daddy, but you can have one now. I don't know about your earthly father, but I do know about my heavenly Father, and I know that He's perfect in all of His ways. You can trust Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we can safely trust in our Father. Amen. He's our counselor, and His counsel is always wise, and it's always right. He is our provider. Yeah. Anything that you need today, the Lord will supply. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a provider. He's going to take care of you. And He's such a wise provider. I'm glad that God's not a sugar daddy. He doesn't give you everything you want. He's a wise God. He looks down the road and He says, you know what? That's not what you need right now. You may get that, but you're going to grow into it first. You're not ready for it now. And you throw a little fit, but so-and-so got one. Well, I'm not their daddy. That never did work at my house. Never did. My so-and-so got one, so what? Amen. They're not your parents. Amen. And there's some things my mom and dad said, well, yeah, you can have that. As soon as you get a job and work and pay for it, you can have it. What? I thought that was your responsibility. Amen. You know, if I wanted a certain kind of tennis shoes, I could have them. All I had to do was make the money to buy them. But throwing a fit sure wouldn't get it. All that did is get my bottom busted. Get my attention. My dad was patriotic. He gave the stripes. I did see the stars. Amen. Just went worked in my house. Amen. And it worked in our household, didn't it? Sure, yeah, that's kind of the way it was. It didn't work. Fits didn't work. Didn't work. It didn't work. Amen. And I don't think it ought to work in anybody's house. Praise God. I'm going to quit meddling now and get back to preaching. Amen. But your Father's a good provider. Your Father's a protector. He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. Now listen. The devil is on a leash. He can only come so far. And that's as far as he can come. But you hear me well. If you step into his territory... Have you ever walked by a dog that was on a leash? growling and snarling and snapping. Amen. But if you step into his territory, he's nailed you. Amen. One day we were playing, and there was this dog in the yard. He didn't say a word. He just running back and forth, nice as he could be. Big old dog, but he was not growling. Amen. And a car came by and splashed water. And so I jumped up off of the street onto his territory so I wouldn't get splashed with water. And wham! He got me right there on the back of the leg. And as soon as I stepped off, he let me go. He never growled one time. He just said, "This is my yard, bud. You step up here, I'm going to get you." And he did. Amen. And so I learned real quickly. Now, he was nice, just don't get in his territory. Amen. And so the devil's on a chain. As long as you do the right, stay on the right path, do the right thing, walking with the Lord, you're going to be okay. But you step into his territory. Amen. You get in places that you shouldn't be. You start meddling with things that you shouldn't be involved with. Uh-huh. We talked about thoughts this morning. Amen. You let your thoughts wander and you start getting off into other little kingdoms with your thinking. Amen. Then you're in trouble. But as long as you're walking with the Lord and you're doing the right thing and you're in the right path, you don't have to fear. He's your protector. Amen. You're going to be all right. God's with you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Praise God. And the Bible said he gives good gifts, doesn't he? I love this. Luke chapter 11. Look in verse number 9. The scripture said, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Those are all in a progressive, continuing sense. It literally means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. "For every man that seeketh, findeth. Every man that asketh, receiveth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you as a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Amen. God gives good gifts. Anything you've ever received from the Lord was the right thing. Yes. Now, Paul got a gift he didn't want. He said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." God actually gave Paul a thorn. Now, that's an unwelcome gift, but he said, "That's what you need, Paul. You need a thorn, so that you don't get lifted up and exalted and fall out with me." Amen. You're going to have some little irritations and some problems in your life. And it may not be from the devil. Now, some people don't believe this, but the scripture teaches it. Now, we've got faith healers that as long as you're living for God and you're doing right, nothing will ever be wrong your whole life. And you'll just, everywhere you go, amen, people are going to pour gold and silver on you. And you're going to live in a mansion and you're going to drive fancy cars. And you're going to eat in the best restaurants because God loves you so much. God loves you enough not to spoil you like that. What did Jesus say? He said, "The Son of Man stays only in the best, the Hilton and the Savoy." No, he didn't say that. He said, "The birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Amen. So if he lived that way in this life and lived happily, where do we get off preaching that God wants you to have the best? I've heard people preach that. I don't know where in the world they get it. God just wants you to have the best. You know what he's really saying? I want the best. That's what he's really saying. I don't think God cares whether you ride a bicycle or drive a Cadillac. It don't matter to him. Amen. As long as you got your priorities right, Amen. And you're working and you're paying your bills and you're giving your tithe and you're giving offerings and you got your priorities straight. God can bless you. God wants to. He doesn't care. Amen. But don't ever get the attitude that because you're a king's kid, God owes you something. He's not that kind of provider. He's a wise provider. And sometimes He gives us unwanted gifts to keep us humble, to keep us grounded. Amen. And by the way, a lot of those guys that were preaching that got in a lot of trouble, didn't they? With the IRS. Amen. Had moral problems and all kinds of stuff. Amen. You know why? Because they were not preaching the true gospel. They had a gospel of greed. Be careful, folks. It's out there. But our Father, He's a good provider. He's a good protector. He's going to give you good gifts. He's going to give you not only what you want, but He's going to give you what you need. Yeah. Amen. He said, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you me." Why me, Lord? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why me? What have I ever done to deserve this? What good thing did Johnny Grissom ever do to deserve this? The answer is nothing. But God in His grace, amen, saw a willing vessel. And with His love, He brought you near and filled you with His glory. Amen. My, what a God we serve. Amen. Paul reminds us, "For by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. By grace. By grace. By God's divine favor. That's the only reason that we're here tonight. Amen. Because God chose us. Don't you love that? He said, "You have not chosen me. I have chosen you." I've heard people make the statement, "Well, when I get ready to come to God, I'll come to God." Oh, really? How are you going to find Him? God is a spirit. He's invisible. He reveals Himself to whom He will, when He will, and where He will. And if God doesn't want to be found, you won't find Him. That's why the Scripture said, "Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time." Don't you get to presuming that it's on your schedule when you find God. You can only find God because He wants to be found. Amen. It's scary, folks, what happens when people get presumptive with God. Did you know there's people that used to really believe the Bible and believe truth, and today they're just as lost as a proverbial goose? They no longer believe the Scripture. They don't believe what the Bible says. Because, you see, when you find truth and then you reject truth, what is there? You be careful. The Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Even when God brings you to truth, friend, don't you open your mind and your spirit to error. Amen. The Bible said the Spirit of truth will lead you and guide you into all truth. So if you love the Lord and you love the Spirit of truth, it will lead you into more truth. And when there's something that's not truth, there's just going to be this little antenna that's going to go up and say, "You know about that? Better check that out." Amen. And but be careful about rejecting truth. Because it's a slippery slope. Amen. Be careful about rejecting truth. He said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know what, folks? This is a kingdom tonight. You and I live in a kingdom tonight. And a kingdom has a king. Amen. If you're in a kingdom, there's a king. And our king is Jesus Christ. And if there's a king, there's a throne. And his throne is grace. Hallelujah. He said, come therefore boldly to the throne of grace, that you may find mercy. Amen. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. We live in a kingdom. Amen. That's why it's different when you serve Jesus Christ. It's not the world anymore. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's a kingdom. It's a kingdom. Amen. We are in the kingdom of God presently. What did the Lord teach us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's what we're seeing. It's about the kingdom, folks. Every day, it's about the kingdom. That's why we don't live just like other people live. That's why we can't talk like everybody else talks. And we can't act like everybody else acts. Because we're in the kingdom. That's why we can't just make excuses for our behavior. We have to change our behavior because we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And things are expected of us that are not expected of them. Amen. There's a couple of boys, they were playing in the cane field one day in Louisiana, Brother Martin, out in the sugar cane. And you know how boys are. They got carried away. And they started knocking down stalks and tearing things up. And boy, about that time a pickup truck pulled up and a big old man stepped out of that pickup, walked over there, grabbed one of those boys and thrashed the daylights out of him and said, boy, you know better than that. And he went to working on it. Little boy, and the man got in his pickup and drove off, and the other boy came out of hiding. And he said, tell you what, he said, I wouldn't put up with that. And the little boy said, he said, why? He said, you see all this sugar cane? He said, one day this is going to be mine. That's my daddy. And this is all going to belong to me. Amen. A lot of folks don't put up with anything because they don't have a kingdom. But when you've got a kingdom, you're going to put up with some things. Amen. Praise. I know folks, they get their feelings hurt. Somebody hurts their feelings and they want to quit church. Why in the world do you want to quit church? The church didn't do anything to you. Maybe one or two people did. That's no reason to give up on God and quit church. The only one you're going to hurt yourself. That's foolish. Why give up your inheritance because somebody hurts your feelings? Grow up. Get over it. Amen. Love God. Love the church. Make up your mind. Because you got an inheritance. Because this is a kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I like this kingdom. I love the righteousness. Man, I love righteousness. I love to come to church, amen, where I can come here and actually have both eyes open. I get so tired of exposed bodies. Everywhere you go, people trying to show their body off to you, I get sick of that. Amen. Just want to say, cover up for goodness sakes. Amen. And so it's wearisome. Amen. It's good to come to the house of God and see righteousness. Amen. People that know how to put clothes on and dress. People that still have a sense of modesty. Man, we're getting it all tonight, aren't we? But it's the truth anyhow. Amen. That's why I like righteousness. Praise God. Amen. I think it's a good thing. Righteousness and treating one another right. Talking right. Praise God. Don't you get tired of profanity? People just cussing and telling dirty jokes. And, Amen. All the filth and the perversion going on out there. You just, it's wonderful to come to a place where you don't have to worry about any of that. Amen. It's wonderful to come to a place where a man can speak to a sister in the church without thinking you're being flirtatious. And if you are being flirtatious, shame on you. Pray through. This is a place of purity. This is a place of righteousness. Amen. And thank God, it's just good to go to a righteous place. I love righteousness. And then I love the peace that's here. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love the peace of God? Amen. There's nothing like it. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, so give I unto you. He gave us a peace. Paul said, it passes all understanding. There's no way to explain, because this peace of God is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's not dependent on circumstances. You can be in one of the most difficult and trying situations of your life, and you can still have peace. Yeah. You can stand at the open casket of a loved one and still have peace. Yeah. Amen. You can be going through a financial situation and still have peace. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Hey, this is the kingdom I'm talking about. Righteousness and peace and joy. Yeah. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness is conditional. Amen. People, I'm so happy. I got a new dress, I'm happy. I got a new car, I'm happy. I got a new house, I'm happy. I got a raise on my job, I'm happy. And you see them 15 minutes later. Amen. Well, the dress had a hole in it I didn't see. They love their new car till the first payment's due. Then they got 71 more. Oh, I love my new house. Till the first payment's due. 359 more. Woo! You see, happiness is fickle. But he didn't promise us happiness. He said, I'm going to give you joy. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit too. Amen. It's just there. Hallelujah. Amen. It just makes you sing. When you know you don't really have anything to sing about, you just sing. You ever done that? You ever be going along and all of a sudden you're just humming and you're singing and you're thinking, why in the world am I so happy? I don't know. I just got joy. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I make up songs. Amen. Praise God. And just talk in tongues for no reason. Just the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Like the guy that was, he was praying and he got to talking in tongues, and somebody heard him that didn't believe in talking in tongues and said that wasn't much of a prayer. Said, I wasn't talking to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some people offer prayers to the people. Amen. Amen. Just to sound good. Hallelujah. Praise God. But it's good when you just have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. This is real, folks. It's genuine. Thank God for the kingdom. Amen. Praise God. And hey, this is not just here. The best is yet to come. He said, of my kingdom, there shall be no end. There's been a lot of kingdoms set up on planet Earth. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Amen. Kings rise, kings fall. Kings are born, kings die. Amen. But I tell you what, there's a kingdom. He said, of my kingdom, there shall be no end. And he said, and you shall reign with me as kings and priests in my kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, what do you got to feel down about? What have you got to feel sad about? Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure. You don't have to twist His arm. You didn't have to make him do it. He wanted to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? God just wants to bless you. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Thank you for your time and your attention. Amen. Amen. We'll be passing Band-Aids out at the door. Praise God. Your toes will be better in a week or two. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But God's good. I love the psalm. I believe it's 146. I think. I'm not sure. I'm saying I'm not sure because one time I quoted something and I didn't have it quite right. And the lady at the church found it and said, that's not right. And she's never been back. So, amen. I don't want to offend anybody, but I think it's 146. Amen. And the scripture said, for the Lord's people is his pleasure. Amen. We're what God does for fun. You know where Jesus goes on Sunday night? He doesn't go to the Super Bowl. He doesn't go to the basketball playoffs. Amen. He don't go to Yankee Stadium or even Texas Stadium, whatever that is up there. Amen. He doesn't even go there. You know where he goes on Sunday night? He goes to a little old church in Athens, Texas. Amen. He goes to big churches and he goes to little churches, and wherever there's people singing his praises and lifting their hands and worshiping the Lord, he said, if there's just two or three, he said, there am I in the midst of them. That's what God does for pleasure. Amen. Hallelujah. You are God's pleasure today. I often think by the heart how God looks at all this. You know, God looks down and he sees everything that's going on. He looks on your job. Amen. And he hears the cussing. And he sees all the perversion. And he sees all that's going on. He sees all the lust. He sees everything that's happening. And right in the middle of that, he sees you standing there, clothed with his righteousness, filled with his peace and his joy and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God says, that's one of mine. Hallelujah. When the Lord sees you resist temptation and come through victoriously, he speaks to heaven and he says, angels, look, listen up. That's one of mine. God takes pleasure in his people. Amen. Praise God. So it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It makes him feel good to give people the Holy Ghost. You don't have to twist God's arm to get the Holy Ghost. He wants you to have the Holy Ghost. It gives him pleasure to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anybody need the Holy Ghost tonight? It'll just thrill God to death to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. God will be so excited to give you the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Or anything else you need tonight. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Praise God. I think it would be good tonight, amen, to come and just spend a little time giving God thanks here, would you? Amen. Let's come and just praise the Lord. God, I thank you tonight. Though I live in a culture of fear, and there's fear on every hand, there's fear about the atmosphere, and there's fear about the water we drink and the food we eat, and there's fear about the transportation, and there's fear about everything. Thank you, God, tonight that there's a peace that passes understanding, and I don't have to get all caught up in the fears of the world. There's fear of living. There's fear of death. Amen. There's fear on every hand. But thank you tonight that there is a peace and there is a joy that is unspeakable, and the righteousness of the Lord that can help us to stand as lights piercing the darkness.
Oh,
amen. Being an example and a witness to a world on the
strain.
Thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you tonight. tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you because